Okay, so it's we'll start Parshas Shalach. It's 119 psukim. The bulk of the parsha is about the Meraglim. So we'll talk mostly about the Meraglim today, and we'll mostly focus on one Rashi. So the story is that Hashem tells Moshe, send Meraglim, and they'll spy it out to Yisrael, and they send the Meraglim, and we all know the story. They come back with a bad report and a bad story about Eretz Yisrael, and everyone gets hysterical, and they don't want to go, and so on and so forth. Anyways, there's a Rashi over here. I want to analyze the Rashi carefully. The first Rashi in the Parsha says, V'edabash ha-mashalim ha-shalach l'cha an-oshem. Rashi says, L'ma nismecha parshas Meraglim l'parshas Miriam. Why is the story of the Meraglim juxtaposed? Why is it next to the story of Miriam? And Rashi answers, Lefi shaloksa liske diba. Miriam, in last week's parsha, the Torah ended off, she spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu, and basically she got punished. And these people didn't take Musar. Lefi shaloksa liske diba, shedibra be'achea, v'rsham halalu rov leilachu Musar. It's a famous Rashi. So that's why the story of the Meraglim is right after Miriam, and I want to dissect the Rashi carefully. Now, just coming in before I discuss this Rashi, we have to understand that this parsha is extremely complex. It's not really clear what the Meraglim did wrong. They were told to go and report what they saw. And you, Bez Hashem, this week you should go through the Rashis and the Rambans and figure out what's going on over here. It doesn't seem like they did anything wrong. You know, these were people that were chashuvim. Rashi said, on the pasuk says, kulam anoshim. Rashi says, kol anoshim shebermikul loshen chashivos. So we're talking about very chashuv people. And in fact, the Ramban says that the list of the shvatim, it starts off Ruvain, Shimon, it jumps to Yehuda, then it goes to Yisachar, Ephraim. So there's no order here. It doesn't seem like there's an order. So one of the pirushim in the Ramban is, the Ramban says, that Ein ma'alosim shava, avol yesh bem gadol mechaver b'chachma minyu v'kavod. V'hiktim ha'nichbad ha'koydim emayla. The list of the Meraglim was an order of their importance, wisdom, prestige. That means, and Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz points this out, according to Ramban, if you take a look at the list, Yeshua is number 5 on the list, Kalev ben Yefun is number 3 on the list. That means there were two Meraglim who were more chashiv than Kalev ben Yefun and Yeshua ben Nun. So we're talking about Gedali Yisrael, great, great people, and they descended into a terrible sin, terrible Avera, and caused Klal Yisrael to be stuck in the Midbar for 40 years. So we're talking about, obviously, a very complex Parsha. You know, the Mesilas Yesharim in the 11th Perek in Nikius quotes a Medrash, Dor Chaim quotes the Medrash, but he says it's a Zayar, that they had a secret agenda, the Meraglim. These people had prestigious positions in Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, and they were worried about job security when it would come into Eretz Yisrael. So they had a deep, whether it was conscious or subconscious, motive not to allow Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So we're talking about huge people with some kind of secret motive. And the psukim has to be studied carefully to identify and pinpoint what exactly was the chait. Anyway, so Rashi says these Rishonim didn't take Musar. Now, I want to, again, dissect the Rashi. The first point of Rashi is, why is the story of the Meraglim next to the story of Miriam? Right? That's Rashi's first question. Now, I don't understand this question. If you take a look at Masechta Tainus, there's a Mishnah that says 5 tragedies happened on Tisha B'Av. Okay, we know Churban Bayis, those are the easy ones. But there are 3 other ones that are not so well known. One of them that's not so well known is, and it's a famous Chazal, but the decree that Klal Yisrael is not going into Eretz Yisrael happened on Tisha B'Av. Everyone knows the Rashi, Vatisa Kol Eida, everyone started crying, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ata b'chisem b'chiyach shochinam, ani ekvelechem b'chiyach shodairis. So we know that the Meraglim came back on Erev Tisha B'Av, and that night they cried, it was Tisha B'Av. And that's what the Gemara says, on Tes B'Av, Nigzera Aviseinu Shleikansu La'aretz. Okay, now, if you go back 40 days from there, when were they sent? So the Gemara in Tainus makes this cheshbin. It's based on which month were Malay, which month were Chaser, and the Gemara says that it was the 29th day of Sivan. Agav Orchid today is 26th day of Sivan. So the yard site of when the Meraglim were sent is this coming Sunday. Okay, so Meraglim were sent this coming Sunday, that's the yard site. Okay, and when did Miriam, then the Gemara calculates, when did Miriam get Saras? Miriam got Saras on the 22nd day of Sivan. And when did she finish her 7 days of quarantine? The 29th day of Sivan. That means the day that Miriam's quarantine ended and the day the Meraglim were sent, that was the exact same day. So I don't understand Rashi. What do you mean, Lama Nismacha? It's the most perfect Nismacha, I think, in the entire Torah. It's the exact day that Miriam finished her quarantine and the Meraglim were sent. So what's the Rashi? It's not like other place in the Torah where there's no connection. There's a mitzvah here, there's a mitzvah here. Why are we connecting these two mitzvahs? No, no, no. It's the exact same day of the year that Miriam finished her tzaras, or her quarantine of tzaras, the Meraglim was sent. So what does Rashi mean? Lama nismecha parshas Meraglim, parshas Miriam, right? So you have to say what Rashi means is that these people, they were sent as Meraglim. The Parsha starts off, Eidah B'Shem HaMoshe Lemar. Why did Hashem send the Meraglim dafka this day? And the answer to that is Hashem felt it's an opportune time to be sent. Hashem doesn't involve himself in our free will. Rashi says that it was really our desire to go. Right? Rashi in the beginning of the Parsha says, I am not sending you. Let me read you the Rashi. Rashi says, Shlach lecha ledaitcha, ani eina mitzav lecha, im tirtza shalach. Because they, Kai Sol initiated this. They came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to send spies. So Hashem says, I'm not telling you to go, but if you want to go, it's like, b'derech shadam reitze leilech, meilich and I say. But Hashem picked this day, the day Miriam finished her quarantine, in order that it should be a lesson. Hashem knew there's going to be a nesayin of Lashon Hara here. Okay, so Hashem picked the day that Miriam came out of Tzaras, and everyone's talking about it, and there should have been a limud musar over here, but Rishom Alalu, ra'u v'loy lechu musar. They saw what happened to Miriam, and they didn't take any musar. Okay, now what did they do wrong? The Torah later speaks about, calls these Meraglim the Maitzi Diba. So from Rashi it indicates, and it's pretty clear from the Chumash, that the Avera was that they spoke Lashon Hara. They didn't take a lesson from Miriam who spoke Lashon Hara, and they themselves spoke Lashon Hara. So they're a big Rishon that they should have learned a lesson, and they didn't. Okay, what was their Lashon Hara? So just to polish this point a little bit clearer, they spoke bad about Eretz Yisrael. Now, that's kind of strange. You know, I know that you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about a person. Where does it say, I just recently reviewed the entire Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. I didn't find any Lashon Hara. If I say, I don't like Brooklyn because you can't find parking in Brooklyn. I don't think I was ever Lashon Hara. Okay, I spoke Lashon Hara about Brooklyn. Okay, or if you speak Lashon, when you speak Lashon Hara, people speak Lashon Hara about the five towns where I'm from. They don't mean they're speaking about Central Avenue. They're talking about the people in the five towns. Okay, but there is no Lashon Hara to speak bad about the land. So what does Rashi mean? So Rashi means they spoke, and the Torah who calls them Maitzi Diba, it's because they spoke about the land that Hashem says is an Eretz Asher Hitayva. It's a land, so they spoke, they spoke Lashon Hara about Hashem. The Hashem says it's going to be a good land, Eretz Tayva Rechava, and they speak bad about the land. In essence, they're speaking bad about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said it's an Eretz Eichelos Yeshveha, which is pretty ironic. Rashi later brings the Medrash. Hashem made that day that they came into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem made like a plague, people were dying. Hashem did it so people would be distracted and not take note of the Meraglim. And they turned that into a negative point. So that's also a Lashon Hara. Hashem was trying to do them a favor, and they said it's an Eretz Eicheles Yoshveh. Also, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Rashi says that the Meraglim told Klai Yisrael, Ki chazikhu mimenu, it's stronger than him. Who's the him? So Pasha Pshada means Klai Yisrael. But Rashi says they were saying Lashon Hara about Hashem. Even Hashem can't conquer Eretz Yisrael. Kaviyachol. So they were speaking bad about Eretz Yisrael. In essence, they were speaking bad about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, now, so Rashi then finishes off. So Rashi says, why is there smichas to the Meraglim to Miriam? Lefisha Rishom Alolu Ra'u V'loy Lachu Musa. They saw and they didn't take Musa. What does it mean they saw? What's the emphasis on they saw? So I want to tell you a vart from the Rebbe of Heschel. In the past, at this year, I spoke about the Rebbe of Heschel. Who is the Rebbe of Heschel? So he wasn't a Chassidish Rebbe. He lived 100 years before the Baal Shem Tov. He was a Rav in Poland. He was very, very, very famous. The reason why he was called the Rebbe of Heschel is because he was the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. He was the Rebbe of the Shach, the Pirshon Shulchan Aruch, Yerdeya Chayishim Mishpat. He was the Rebbe of the Taz. He was the Rebbe of the Mar Shach in the back of Gemaris. There's a Pirsh from Reb Shmuel Kadanoiver. There's a sefer called Avodas Gershuni, Reb Gershon Ashkenazi. So he was the Rebbe of the big Paiskim that lived in the 1600s. Now, the Rebbe of Heschel was born in 1595, and he died in 1663. So he lived like in the late 60s, to 68 years old. And he was 53 during Tach V'Tat. There was a massacres in 1648, 1649. Tach is 48. Tat is 49. The Chmelnytsky massacres, where the Kazakhs rose up and decimated many Kehilos Yisrael. They were called Gezeres Tach V'Tat. He was a big Rav. He was 53 during Tach V'Tat, and he was a big Paisik at the time to be Matar Agunis. In the aftermath of the massacres, a lot of people needed a heterim to get remarried, and he was known, one of the people, to give a heterim after Tach V'Tat. But he was mamish the gadol b'Yisrael. Anyways, he wrote a sefer. There's a legend why we don't have any svarim from him. We actually have a pirush on tour, a small pirush on tour. We don't have much svarim from him. But we do have a sefer called Chanukah Satayr. What Chanukah Satayr is, somebody went through all the students' books. Like in the 1600s, in the 1700s, everybody who was quoting the Rebbe of Heschel, and he compiled them, and he made like a little sefer on Chumash called the Chanukah Satayra. It's a beautiful sefer. The style is Harifos. It's a very sharp Taira. It was very popular. It's still popular, but it was very popular in Poland. I read a secular book by Isaac Basheva Singer, and he wrote stories that happened. Isaac Basheva Singer was not from. He was brought up in a Rav's house. His father, Reb Pinchas Singer, was a Rav in Europe. A big Chasher Rav wrote Svarim. I found on the computer, on the Eitzah Svarim, his father's Svarim. His father wrote Svarim on the Prima Gadim Sefer Nitrikin. Very Chasher Svarim, his father. But he lived between the two wars. There were terrible Nisyonis at that time. And he assimilated, Isaac Basheva Singer. Anyways, he has stories called In My Father's Court. I think it was initially published in the newspaper Favart. But then they took it and they published a book out of his short stories of what happened in his father's Bezdin in Warsaw, or suburb of Warsaw, I believe. Anyways, over there he keeps on saying that the Chassidim would always share with each other a good vart from the Rebbe of Heschel. So it's very, even the secular Jews knew that the sharp Torah is the Rebbe of Heschel's Torah. Just briefly, there's a legend about him. I saw printed, they recently came out in the last 20 years, probably, around 20 years ago, they republished they updated the Sefer Chanukah Satayra, because I guess over the years they found new Torah from the Rebbe of Heschel, so they made it a little bit fatter, the book. I saw it in the Shayoshev Library. It's called Meitarasei Shereb Heschel, I think. Anyways, over there there's actually an introduction with a biography in the Rebbe of Heschel, and over there it's printed. I heard the story in my life, but I never saw it printed mefurish, and here it's printed. There's a legend. Why isn't there svarim from the Rebbe of Heschel? So they say that there's a Mishnah in Bava Metzia. The Mishnah in Bava Metzia is talking about, it's a Daf Mem Mebeis. The Mishnah is talking about, if I give you a barrel to watch for me, you're not allowed to be Shalech Yad. You're not allowed to tamper with the barrel at all. But let's say I give it to you and I didn't designate a location, and then you were moving it around and it breaks. It's a question of Mishnah, who's liable? It's a Mishnah Naf Mem. In that Mishnah, there's a Reish and a Sefer, and the Reish and a Sefer, the Gemara says, seems to be at odds with each other regarding liability. And Rabbi Yochanan came along and said, whoever could explain this Mishnah, not by saying the Reish is one opinion and the Sefer is another opinion, anyone who could show me, explain the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is one opinion, and explain the Mishnah somehow within one shita, I will bring his kalim to the mikveh. I'll mayvlina mana lebe mesusa. I will carry his kalim to the mikveh. Okay, and that's an expression. That expression actually comes up other place in Shas. That's an example of I will be your eved. The Gemara in Kedushin actually says, if how do you make a kinyan on eved kanani? If you make him carry your clothing to the merchatz for you, that's a kinyan chazaka. Anyways, so it says, the legend goes that the Rebbe Peschel worked very, very hard on this question, and he had a solution. And late at night, there was a knock on the door, and a man, he goes to the door and opens up, and he says, who are you? He says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. I'm here to take your kalim to the Beis HaMerchatz. And he let Rabbi Yochanan take his kalim to the Beis HaMerchatz. Anyways, there was a tremendous tainim and a shemayim on him. Because just because Rabbi Yochanan made the offer, you don't have to accept the offer. Rabbi Yochanan was the Gadol Hadar. He was the author of the Talmud Yishalmi. He was an Amira. He was a few people in the history of the world that was as great as Rabbi Yochanan. So how do you let Rabbi Yochanan carry a kalim? So there's a gzeir on him. Either you would lose children, or your svarim would be lost, and the legend says that he picked the latter, his farm were lost, and there was some kind of fire, and he lost all the ksavim. So we don't really have much Torah from him, but we do have the Sefer Chanukah Torah. So here's a very good example of the Sefer Chanukah Torah. It's Charifus. He says like this, there's a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas says, asks a contradiction. One place it says that if a person gets saras, it's a punishment. There's another place that seems to say that if a person gets saras, it's not a punishment. It's reserved for tzaddikim. It's yisurim shalahava, and it's a mizbech kapara. He's the carbon for everybody. Okay, so when is saras a punishment and it's bad? When do we view it as something positive and something good? So the Gemara says depends. Multiple truths in Gemara Brachas. I believe it's Daf Hamabes. So one teretz in the Gemara is that kam betzina kam befehesya. Meaning, if Hashem gives the tzaddik tzaras in a very, very hidden place, the only one that knows about it is the tzaddik, then it's Yisurim Shalahava. There's no embarrassment, it's just between him and Hashem, that's Yisurim Shalahava. But if the person gets it begolui, it's on the person's face or on the person's hands, and everyone can see it, that's not Yisurim Shalahava, that's a punishment. Okay, so now, the Rebbe Peschel says, the Meraglim were big Rishom, they didn't take Musar from Miriam. Why should they take Musa? She got Saras. Maybe she got Saras because she's a big tzaddikah, so she was getting it Yisum Shalahava. The answer is she must have gotten it someplace begolui, an overt place where they could see it. And that's why they should have taken Musar. That's what Rashi says. Risham alolu ro'u. They saw the tzaras on her. V'loy lachu Musar. Then they should have, if they didn't see it, they would have had an excuse. All right, we heard she got tzaras, but maybe she's a tzaddikus. It's maybe Yisurim Shalahava. But Risham alolu ro'u v'loy lachu Musar. That's the vart from a Rebbe Reb Heschel. Very sharp vart. Anyways. So ultimately, the bottom line is HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the episode of Miriam right next to when he commanded them Shluch Meraglim specifically so they should take a Musar, and they, according to Chanukah Satayra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Miriam Saras in an overt way that they should take Musar, yet they did not take Musar, and that's what Rashi says, Risham Alolu Rov Leilachu Musar. Just to finish with one, with basically what one idea now. This idea is from the Sichas Musar, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in Maimon Chaf Daled in Tavshin Lamed Aleph. He says that all tragedy in life is for one reason, that a person should take Musar. Even if it's on somebody else, we see something, we should always take Musar. He says, by Yosef Atzadik, it says, Yosef Atzadik spoke Lashon Hara. And Rashi says, Mida Kenegan Mida, whatever he did to them happened to him. For example, he spoke that they should be, that they are, that the brothers called the B'nai Shafachi slaves. See, he was sold as a slave. Okay, that's a very logical Mida Kenegan Mida. You spoke about them being slaves, you become a slave. But one of the things Rashi says is not so apparent. He said that they were eating Aver Menachai. What was the punishment? That when they were shechting him, it says they dipped a kasinus into the blood. It says they shechted a goat, and they dipped the thing into blood. It says they shechted it. It wasn't Eva Menachai. Now, what would Yosef care if, when they shechted that to dip the kosinus into blood, if it was shechted or not? if it is not shechted? The answer is the everything that happens in life, it's for us to take a liman musar. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz quotes a very cute story. He says there was a woman, he says it's mefursim. I don't know who it is, and I don't know who the people of the story are, but he says that there was a person, a woman, she was read a shidduch, the man was sterling. He said that man ended up becoming one of the Gedolei Yisrael, and she turned down the shidduch. Why? Because he limped. He didn't walk well, he limped. And anyways, later in life, she got married to somebody else, her husband was sick, and she used to bring her husband tea in the morning, because her husband couldn't daven unless he had something to drink. Anyways, while she was walking, she tripped. She was already later in life. She was walking and tripped, and she broke her leg. And she was going around telling people, you know why Hashem sent this to me? Because I'm giving my husband tea before Shacharis. So it's unbelievable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes brings clear, explicit lessons to people. And instead of turning it on themselves, they tend to turn it on something else. And that was a big taina on the Meraglim. Rashi calls them Rishom. When something happens, even if it happens to something else, Rishom Rov Leilochum Musar. Recently, someone told me they had three accidents, a car accident, a bite accident, a foot accident, and the person tells me, it's time to check my mezuzahs. And I told the person in a gentle way, I said, that's not the way we do things. Chazal say, Yom Raya Adim Shir Surim, Bon Alav Yifash Feish B'masav. It doesn't say Yifash Feish B'mezuzos. Anyways, but that's a big lesson in this week's parasha, that something happens, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Mefurish. Now, I don't know, I'm not smart enough, it's way out of my pay grade, you know, what all these Yisurim happening in the world are, but it's one thing is for sure, it's like that we would be considered wicked. Rishom halalu ro'u v'laylachu musar. That would be a tremendous taina on Klal Yisrael. Everybody should have Gevalik Shabbos, and I'll speak to you next week. Kol tov. Bye.
Thanks so much. Kol tov. Thanks.
Sure. Kol tov.